the platform of adharma. Is it necessary to bring people to the platform of dharma to ultimately bring them to the spiritual platform in this age of adharma? The answer is no, and the answer is yes. Which doesn't sound like a very logical kind of answer. People from any position can immediately be brought to the fullest and highest transcendental platform by chanting the holy names of Krishna. However, most people don't come to that platform immediately, or even if they take to the chanting of the holy names, due to bad habits, bad association, lack of proper understanding, and bad sanskaras or bad acquired nature, they tend to lapse into sinful activities. And thus they can't, even if they come to the spiritual platform by chanting Hare Krishna, they can't or they don't remain on that platform. Therefore, introduction of varnashram dharma is required. When we're talking about dharma, the word dharma in many instances in Shastra, and particularly in Bhagavad Gita, as you are very much aware of, it refers to varnashram dharma. It can refer to an overall principle, but generally it refers to varnashram dharma. The dharma shastras are codes of behavior for varnashram society. When we speak of brahma dharma, kshatra dharma, the dharma of brahmanas, stri dharma of brahmana kshatriyas, and for women, it's all within varnashram dharma. So that is, it's not that one has to come from sinfulness to piety to Krishna consciousness. That's not necessary. One can come from any condition to Krishna consciousness, but to save one from falling into the impiety that one is accustomed to, society needs to be organized in such a way that people tend to act in a manner that is conducive for their spiritual advancement and not otherwise. So varnashram dharma in and of itself is a point of great confusion within ISKCON. People say, well, varnashram's got nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. That's true. But nor has sinful activity got anything to do with Krishna consciousness. So this oscillation between transcendental consciousness and degraded consciousness, that's not very helpful for spiritual advancement. Or even for living in this world in a peaceful manner. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada emphasized so much the need to introduce this, because if we're acting sinfully, then how are we going to make spiritual advancement? There are many misunderstandings about Srila Prabhupada's Varnashram Manifesto. Yeah, can you speak so loudly that I can hear? You can try. There's another mic, is there? Or you can come. In fact, all the whole narration of Gita, Mahabharata, Bhagavatam, all of the Shastra, it goes on. We're missing a lot if we don't understand the social background, the context in which it's all stated. Ah, yeah, please.
Recently, when I met Sri Ananda Bhattacharya, he told me, he suggested to me that I should take Samadhi, because he quoted the verse of Srimad-Bhagavatam and said, even if you are chanting the holy name of the Lord, even if you are engaged in bhakti, unless and until.
Did he say the word bhakti? Yeah, in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, bhakti, they understand it in a different way, as you know, to how we understand it. It's almost impossible to do bhakti as a means, according to them. Then therefore we require sharanagati. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, so he suggested that people who are not monks, but have come into Krishna
bhakti,
they have to take the next birth, as suggested by Srimad-Bhagavatam, be Dwara Dhamana Nandi, take Samasraya, then only they will be able to go to the Vaikuntha. So that is.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Srimatam Shuchinam Gehe Yoga Brashto Pijayate. Persons who have taken to yoga but have not completed the path, they take birth in pious families. So the idea is that they take birth in a pious family, then they get samashraya, they get initiated into the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, and then they can go to Parampadam, they can go to Vaikuntha. So those who are chanting Hare Krishna in this life, but who are not born in Brahmin families, they, by chanting Hare Krishna in their next life, they can be born in a Brahmin family, take initiation in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, and then go to Vaikuntha. Well, that's not even the philosophy of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, because they have non-Brahmanas who are initiated with Samashram also. And they're not barred from going to Vaikuntha. It's not even his own philosophy. So what to speak of Mami Parthavya Parshucha Yepi Syuf Papa Yonaya Sriyo Vaishas Tatashudras Tepiyanti Paramgatim. That even people who are born in very sinful conditions, they can attain paramgatim, parampadam, says Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, which is, and in Bhagavatam there are several verses which specify very lowest people, Kiratu, Hananda, Palinda, Pulkashas. What is that? Palinda Pukusha Shumba. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened to me. I used to remember my verses. Nowadays I don't. Who knows that verse? Kirada Hunandra Palinda Pukusha Shumba Abhira Shumba Yavana Kasadaya. Ah? Yene Chapapa Tadapa Shraya Shraya Shujanti Tasmai Prabhavishnave Namaha. The great power of powerful Vishnu is seen in that, inasmuch as one who has taken shelter of him, not even him directly, he can purify even the most fallen people and given names of very fallen. And then there's a whole list elsewhere in Bhagavatam of the even non-humans, monkeys, elephants, all different species, even non-humans, and is given Vyadha the hunter, Tulabha, Kubja, all very fallen people, who they became purified without taking a Brahmin birth. So, anyway, our aim is not Vaikuntha. Beyond Vaikuntha. Don't tell that to them. Don't say. There's no need to make unnecessarily an argument. If you're friendly, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was friendly with Venkatabhata, then he discussed all these things in a friendly way. But I'm surprised he's saying that, because that's not even their own philosophy. Well, it became a problem, actually, because of this Brahmin consciousness, which is not originally part, it is not what Ramanuja or the Alvas promoted. The very foundational texts of their sampradaya, they glorify the fact that anyone, that was part of the appeal of Ramanuja, that anyone from any background can achieve the highest perfection. But then later the Brahmin consciousness, because he upheld Varnashram by birth, and someone who's born in a certain family, they can do certain services. But that tendency, elitism, it caused great damage when people rebelled against that. That we've seen in the last two or three generations with this anti-Brahminism in Tamil Nadu. Srila Prabhupada also in one lecture, he spoke about this. He said in South, he spoke disapprovingly of this, that in South India there are people who, even if their shadow touches you, you have to go and take a bath. Srila Prabhupada spoke disapprovingly about this. That's not the proper spirit of Vaishnavism. So this elitism, the desire to prove oneself better than others, it boomeranged on them, because there was such a protest one thing is all the properties were taken away from the brahmanas, and they became persecuted. And then many of them went to secular life, like yourself. I think it began with your father, was it? Many of them. And so the whole, it's amazing that there's any Brahminical culture going on whatsoever. Still, they've maintained it through that whole difficult period when it was very dangerous to go out, to walk outside showing a shikar. It's dangerous. You're going to be physically attacked. So this is a great challenge for our movement, to establish Brahman by behavior. And that's largely accepted, becoming more and more accepted within Indian society, due to the influence of Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON. People read Prabhupada's books and they can understand that someone who's simply got a name, Brahmin name, but who doesn't act like a Brahmin, he's not Brahmin. So this, that's largely accepted now. As I said, when I first came to India, there was a lot of dissatisfaction that myself and others were white-skinned from overseas with a Brahmin thread. There's a lot of dissatisfaction with that. But nowadays it's very widely accepted. And even the traditional Brahmins, they also accept us as genuine Brahmins. They probably wouldn't give their daughters in marriage to our Western Brahmins. But then again, their daughters are just as likely to run off with a Muslim, so they might do better. The whole society is a mess, just in case you hadn't noticed. So to re-establish Varnashram is a great, great challenge. Along the lines of guna and karma. One reason is that it's a great challenge is because we, even our own devotees seem to have no idea of how that could be possible. Very little inclination to do so, because we're all brought up in this idea, everywhere, egalitarianism, equal rights, everywhere. And the system is completely broken down. And it's very difficult to get people with the guna and the karma to actually be so ideal as a brahmana. It's very difficult, because most people are inclined to a lower way of life. I was just thinking, you were telling me that the devotee there in Ireland just doesn't want to come to the temple program. Just doesn't want to come. You tell him and he just doesn't want to. Why? What's wrong? Just no taste. Just doesn't want to come. Then he is initiated, Brahmin initiated, but no interest in all these things. He's just losing interest. I don't find any interest. Very deep, bad samskaras or impressions within the heart. Very difficult to rectify. I was saying in the morning about being averse to resisting purification. It's saying, come to the temple, come join in the chanting. No, they don't want to, because they don't want to be purified. They don't want to, they feel more comfortable in their little mind, their little state of mind that they've fashioned for themselves. They feel more comfortable in Maya or semi-Maya. Very difficult, and we find that often people are very strong-minded, they can't take good advice. They're very convinced what I'm doing is right, even though everyone can see they're not doing it correctly. Very difficult in Kali Yuga. A lot of chanting is required, and a lot of chanting, and this Shravan Kirtan camp should just go on forever. That's the idea of our Varnashram communities also. Morning, noon and evening, hearing and chanting about Krishna, and in between, some work. Either work on the land, some weaving, some pottery, something, do some simple work, nothing very complex, not a very complicated society. And three times a day, hearing and chanting about Krishna. Every day, one hour, and again, and again, and again, and again. Purification. Submit ourselves to the process of purification. It's something like, you go to the doctor, you get the prescription, and then you don't take the medicine. Of course, I must admit, I also do that. Especially with Western medicines. They come and prescribe something, but we generally don't want to take Western medicines. But then how can you expect to be cured? The process is there. But we have to submit ourselves to that process. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. Very difficult age, no doubt. We can take strength from remembering Srila Prabhupada's example, who alone dealt with so many difficult people, but he had great faith that if people engage in this process of chanting Hare Krishna, they will be purified. Even although, according to objective evidence, it might have seemed that his disciples weren't so very advanced, that they could fall down and this and that, but Prabhupada had great faith. Let's keep on pushing. He kept on pushing the Sankirtan movement, despite what for anyone else would have been causes of discouragement. His own health condition. Again and again, he suffered severe diseases. And practically, he was, from the physical point of view, in old age. So practically all the time he had various health difficulties as he was traveling around the world. His devotees, who he invested great faith in, he had great confidence, they would just fall down. Prabhupada went on. He wasn't discouraged. He had faith. Let us go on pushing on this Sankirtan movement. The holy names will purify. Is this from you? From? Don't know. Can nepotism, subtle or gross, be considered as an indicator of elitism in a spiritual institute, or used of, I can't, what's the next word? Different. Used of, what's the next word? Differentiating spiritual establishment for a material one. Nepotism is a kind of elitism in a spiritual or a non-spiritual institution. That's the first part of the question. Or the attitude of elitism is inherent in nepotism. But the second part of the question, oh, I see. If there's some kind of clique that is taken over a spiritual institution, does that make it mundane? Well, to the extent that it's not spiritual, it's mundane. The perennial problem of spiritual institutions, that they become taken over by materialistic people. There may be highly spiritual people, and then followers gather around them. The followers want to follow the example of the charismatic spiritual leader and become spiritual like him. And followers gather. When they're followers, then they mean there'll be some buildings and an institution and power and money. And people who like power and money, they will take charge and pervert the functions of the institution so that it goes on with the semblance of what the founder of the institution wanted, but it's actually being directed towards the power and the gain of money by those who have taken the leadership. And they know how to talk and act in such a way that it makes them seem as if they're actually doing the right job, but actually it's all for their own power and influence. So then Prabhupada wanted this. They know if you say that, that's very authoritative. So they know how to say all the right things, but they're actually exploiting the whole situation for their own material aggrandizement. But they also need to have spiritual people in the institution to keep up the show. Because if there are no spiritual people, then it'll be recognized as being completely material. So they have a tenuous relationship with spirit. On one hand, they want spiritual people so that others will be attracted, so that others can come and they can exploit them. So it's a complicated subject. But is the whole institution material if the leadership is material? Not necessarily. There may be... Out of the Catholic Church, you won't know this because you're from India, but out of the Catholic Church came Francis of Assisi, who Srila Prabhupada recognized as a spiritual person. So out of that corruption came, so the good message came through despite so much corruption. So Srila Prabhupada said something similar. He said, even if everyone leaves the movement, if the books are there, still the movement will come up again. So as long as Prabhupada's books are there, there's hope. What did you preach among higher class of people? Yes, Srila Prabhupada wanted to preach among the higher class of people because they're influential. That shouldn't be misunderstood, that Srila Prabhupada is an elitist. He wanted to preach to everyone. He also wanted village preaching. He also started this program, which later became known as the Padayatra. He sent Lokanath Maharaj going village to village. He said himself he personally wanted to do that, go village to village preaching in India. So it wasn't that Prabhupada was an elitist, but he did recognize the utility of, if we want to spread Krishna consciousness very widely, we can do so if the elite people take to it. He mentions in the purport to that Tadvag Visargo Janataga Viplavo that the mass of people are like pawns in the hands of the leaders. But then Srila Prabhupada, he also said that, recognizing the difficulty of getting these people interested in Krishna consciousness, he also said that, well, make the mass of people Krishna conscious, then the leaders will have to follow because it's a democracy. They'll vote. They'll vote for Krishna conscious people. Yeah, anyway, there is... Srila Prabhupada was pragmatic. He wasn't fixed on one strategy. His aim was to make the whole world Krishna conscious, but exactly how to infiltrate Krishna consciousness within society, he could do so from different angles. The main thing, he wanted to see his books distributed, but he had many other programs also. Yeah, go on.
Just on that aspect, I was wondering in which extent we have to go along with them, because
to what extent do we go along with the elite people? Not much. Srila Prabhupada would meet big influential people and speak Krishna consciousness very straightforwardly to them. Some devotees that you'll find in these memories of Prabhupada's video series, they'd say, we'd work so hard to cultivate these professors. We'd bring them to Prabhupada and Prabhupada would blast them. And mostly they wouldn't come again, and Prabhupada wanted more the next time. You can see with the, there's some myth being circulated that Prabhupada, when he met these high-class people, he dealt with them, and he dealt with them as gentlemen. Well, yeah, he did, but he didn't mince his words with them. Cardinal Daniello, this Yogeshwar Prabhu, who set up this meeting with this priest, the head of the Catholic Church in France, he was actually, I did a little research, which nowadays means looking up things on the internet. He was actually considered a very progressive Catholic, very broad-minded, very open-minded. He wanted to bring reform in the church, and it seemed like it'd be a great person for Prabhupada to meet. But Prabhupada immediately took up the issue of, why are you eating meat? And Prabhupada, you can see, there's a video of him speaking with him. Prabhupada is angry with him. Prabhupada is putting his fist on the chair like this. He was very angry with him because he couldn't accept this. Supposed to be a big theologian. He wasn't just an administrative cardinal, but he was a thinker, an intellectual of the church, thinking how to bring the message of God to the people in the modern world. And he couldn't accept this point, that we shouldn't kill animals to eat them. And Prabhupada, and he said, let's go on to, can't we discuss something higher? And Prabhupada said, no. Get this point, first of all. Otherwise, there's no question of any higher topics. And the cardinal was very frustrated with him, and Prabhupada was very frustrated. There was no progress. He didn't go along with him. The very least we can give the books to these people. Mostly they don't read them. Books are very powerful. Very powerful. I just meeting devotees in the deep south of Tamil Nadu and just asking how they came to Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada's books. They read Prabhupada's books, it changed their life. Not big intellectuals. Someone having a small business, someone else is driving, professional driver. But they're reading Prabhupada's books, has the effect. Very powerful. Now in Sri Lanka you have so many people who are reading Prabhupada's books, and it's happening to them. They're understanding this is real spiritual life. Very good field for preaching Krishna consciousness, maybe the best in the world. Of course, the Tamil population of Sri Lanka is only about, what, 5 or 6 million? Less even, yeah. But a very, very educated and not spoiled to the extent they are in India. There's no DMK in Sri Lanka. There's no, not only is there no atheistic propaganda, but they actually teach religion. The government itself, since the independence of Sri Lanka in 1947, has promoted that religion is very important in society, and everyone accepts that. So very, very good field for preaching there. People are reading the books, they're eager to read, and they recognize this is real spiritual knowledge. I'll just say a bit more about that. In India, and including Sri Lanka and the general Indian scheme, people can more quickly recognize what is saintliness. In the West they can also, but it may take more time. If our devotees are steady, doing what they're supposed to do, and gradually people will recognize that these are actually spiritual people. They're not living for materialistic goals. But our devotees have to act like that. But in India, they can more quickly recognize. Yeah, please say. Who? Very good, Scorpio. They accept that even though he doesn't have any degree in theology or any such thing, but they accept him on his personal credentials.
There is a vacuum of spirit, especially in Hinduism, for the word, want of a better word, of the educated Hindu priests.
Great scope there. But here in India also, there are plenty of schools where they're ready to have regular classes and everything. India is a great field for preaching Krishna consciousness. It's becoming better and better. And actually the whole world is everywhere. We had so many dedicated preachers at a time when the world wasn't ready for the message. And now the world, in so many ways, ready for the message. And our movement is Hare Krishna. Fill in the dotted line yourself. Hare Krishna. Someone said that Srila Prabhupada said. What's that? Huh? Oh yeah, that's Dravya Shud. I can't remember that. Dravya Shudyati, yeah. Huh? Dravya what Shudyati? Dravya Mulyena Shudyati, yeah. It may be that if you buy something, it becomes Shuddha, purified in one sense, but it doesn't become purified from the consciousness. The main thing is the consciousness that goes with it. If you eat food cooked by a person in bad consciousness, that means you may not accept directly the karmic reactions that you get if you take something as an offering. But you can't escape their consciousness. Which goes with that. Therefore, Bishayir Anna Kaile Dushta Hoiman. Eating food of a materialistic person contaminates the mind. Anyway, there's a quote for everyone. If you want to go to hell, you can also quote Bhagavad. Plenty of quotes you can misinterpret from Bhagavad Gita. I don't know how exactly, because Prabhupada trained us to know Bhagavad Gita as it is, but I'm sure that the devil quoting scripture, there's a saying in English. I wonder where that's from, the devil quoting scripture. practically, people who come up with such things, they're not serious, and they want to, they want to make a show of being Krishna conscious without being Krishna conscious, and think that you can get. Is more on this elitism thing. They think that our group is best because you get more for less. You get, see, in this group here, this BVK's group, they don't talk about prem and all this thing. It's all rules and regulation. So, but in our group, we talk about prem and you don't have to follow any rules and regulations. So you get more for less. It's a better deal. But it doesn't work out like that. That's how the materialists cheat people. You get more for less. But the fact is, if you want anything good, you have to work for, you have to strive for. Mercy doesn't mean that we circumvent the whole process given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Rupa Goswami. That's not mercy. Mercy is to be engaged in that process. All right, Hare Krishna. I'll finish that. You can go on with kirtans. All right, one more question. I couldn't understand. What's the question? But I couldn't understand what was said. I can't understand what you're saying. I don't know whether it's the echoes coming here or what. I'm not used to your voice. Can you say Krishna?
Yes, good.
Relationship with what?
In this world, among family members or anybody, it's very grim meeting like a traveler.
Right. That's a common example which is given in the Bhagavatam and elsewhere. That relationships in this world, it's like if you go in, you're traveling from one place to another and you stop overnight in a hotel. And you meet some people while you're taking your dinner in the hotel, and you talk with them and you become friendly with them, but you don't go very deeply because you know that the next morning they'll go to one place and you'll go to another place. So similarly, our connections in this material world is something like that. We come together for one lifetime and then we go away to different destinations. That example is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the text of the Bhagavatam. It seems to me to be an easy thing to understand. I don't see that it requires much explanation.
All right, thank you very much for all participating. Hare Krishna.
Glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.